Well, good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you big book study. My name is Jen A. I am from Colorado and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Thanks be to God. Today is Thursday, September 5th, 2024. It's 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And today we're reading from the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous in the chapter titled We Agnostics. We're on page 44, down to the third paragraph, beginning with, but it isn't so difficult, through one paragraph ending with, you need not be disconcerted. Today's readers are Team Thursday. We have the 12 steps with Joni C., 12 traditions, Jackie D., readers of the text, Judy N., and Katie G. will be doing our closing reading and helping us back up. Newcomer greeter is Reva P., and second hour moderator will be Ken W. H. The reference numbers for yesterday, September 4th, 2024, are the following. The 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Big Book Study recording is 21,716. That's 21716. And then the 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Big Book Study recording is 21,717. So 21717. Here's the OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religion, no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose. That's to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Joni C. to read the 12 steps.
Good morning. This is Joni C., gratefully recovered but not cured from Minnesota. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. One. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you. I will now ask Jackie D. to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, everyone. This is Jackie D. from Georgia. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to compulsive overeaters who still suffer. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me be of service, and thank you for your service.
Well, thanks so much, Joni C. and Jackie D. This is how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our absence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. And there's no absence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. So we are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. So to share, press star 1 to unmute. And once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phones except the speaker should be muted. And we do have some noise on the line, so if I could have the dashboard mute the line real quick, that'd be great. So today we're going to resume our study in the chapter Agnostics in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're on page number 44. Head down to the third paragraph, and today I'll ask Judy N. to begin for us. Go right ahead, Judy. Judy N., press star 1.
Can you hear me? Good morning.
Yes, ma'am. Go right ahead.
Sorry about that. Good morning, Jen. Thank you for your service. Good morning, everybody. But it isn't so difficult. About half our original fellowship were of exactly that type. At first, some of us tried to avoid the issue, hoping against hope we were not true alcoholics. But after a while, we had to face the fact that we must find a spiritual basis of life or else. Perhaps it is going to be that way with you, but cheer up. Something like half of us thought we were atheists or agnostics. Our experience shows that you need not be disconcerted. Well, I wasn't an atheist or an agnostic. I believed in God, and I often prayed, as I was taught how to pray growing up with a prayer book, but it didn't help. It didn't help my eating, my insane relationship with food. That would, at times, I was okay because of paying for human aid, whether it be a paid away or a therapist or a psychologist or a psychiatrist or reading self-help books. For a while, it worked, but in my mind, it was always get your body to where you want it and you'll be okay. You'll fit in. You'll feel good in your own skin. It was all about my body and doing the outside of me. And that's all I knew. And that was my life. And it kept me isolated. It didn't help me face my fears. It didn't help me grow as a person and really as an adult. So I was in a bad place. And then my real problem was I had to face the fact that I must find a spiritual basis of life. For me, obviously, I didn't know what that meant. I didn't know how to do that. I thought I was a good person. I thought I was spiritual. It's the steps. Once I was in vision and I went through the steps the first time and did my inventory, I understand. I understand. Let me look at my character defects. My thinking is off. My attitudes are off. Even my speech, my tone of voice. That's what it means to live with godliness. This is what it is. That's what you learn through the steps. And whether I have this personal connection with God, that didn't happen right away for me. That happens one day at a time, one day after another, living with my routine, working with my program, staying connected to fellows, getting on the step train, doing my reading, my prayer and meditation, and then subtle changes start to happen. And because I changed, I feel like my husband's changed and things are changing, but it's really me, not changing on the outside. That happens because you stay abstinent, but changing on the inside. That's what it's about. The spiritual basis of life is the steps and sticking it out, living in 10, 11, and 12 for me, one day at a time. The last sentence says, our experience shows that you need not be disconcerted. I looked that up. That means frustrated. So wherever you are on this spectrum of believing or as a non-believer, you've got to go through the steps. And then you'll go through the steps sometimes, at least for me, more than once. And then you're deeper. Your connection gets deeper because you're growing. This is a process of growth. And as you grow and you become more trusting, reliant, and dependent on a power greater than myself, because for me, I wasn't doing it well at all on my own willpower. So I was looking for something. And I always say, God bless Dr. Silkworth, because I know when I was reading the doctor's opinion, I'm not crazy. I always thought I was nuts, a lunatic. I'm not. I have this double whammy. I have other problems too, but I have an
allergy
of the body and an obsession of the mind. And this program keeps me happy, joyous, and free as long as I work it. And thank you so much. I pass.
Thank you so much, Judy, and appreciate your service this morning. And we do value everyone who's here on the line with us today. We ask that you limit your share to every third day. That way others can share their experience too. It's just nice to share the air. So who would like to share on what was read today? I'll take your first name, the first initial of your last name,
Melissa,
and then your state. Thanks,
oh, Melissa. Yeah. Melissa C. from New York. I don't know if you got me. I jumped on you. Sorry.
No, I got you. I got Kelly.
Okay.
I got
Tina
Melissa.
S.
Tina.
Cheryl A.
Cheryl A. And somebody else in there was Cheryl. I didn't catch it.
Kat C.
Oh, thanks, Kat.
Gloria H.
Gloria.
H.
Yes, gotcha, Gloria. Thank you.
Justin
All right,
C.,
that's an
North
awesome
Carolina.
Start. Did you say Justin C.?
That's correct, yes. Thank you.
Thanks. Oh, you're welcome, Justin. All right, let's stop with that group. That's awesome. Here's who I have in the order that I have you to come up and pitch. So I have Melissa C., Kelly S., Tina S., Cheryl A., Kat C., Gloria H., and Justin C. You'll have 3 minutes. Melissa C., go right ahead.
Hey, good morning, Jen. Thanks so much for your service this morning. My name is Melissa C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in New York. And, you know, what I get from this paragraph and the paragraph before is that this is a condition, this agnosticism, and for me, my agnosticism, my atheistic kind of perspective, was something I was going to have to get over. Like, that's really, that's the thing I kind of get from this, and that, you know, my experience was, I thought I was going to have to figure out God and make sense of some of the really difficult things that had occurred in my life in order for me to move on, You know, I thought, if I can't figure out why bad crap happened to me and I can't, you know, make peace with it and understand it, then I can't find a new, you know, I can't do this. And I was wrong. You know, I remembered reading, you know, the hoop that I have to jump through is a lot wider than I think. And, you know, so when I first came in, by the way, I've been a compulsive overeater my whole life, you know, but I came in really, really hurt and angry. And I had a whole wealth of, you know, experiences that I would have told you, this is why there is no God. You know, I lost a child. In 1 year I lost, you know, I lost a child. I lost my best friend and shortly after my father. And it was like, you know, I was reeling and I was so angry and I was like, now you're going to tell me I have to believe in a God? Like, what? With my food? Are you kidding? And, you know, what has happened is that I've had, by following the steps, I've learned to rightly relate myself to a power, and I call that power God. And the difference today is I'm a human being. I'm having a whole host of new human experiences, right? I got my mom with dementia. It is hard. It is gut-wrenching. But I no longer say there's no God because this is happening to my mother. The difference is I'm acutely aware of all the resources, of all the people, of all the help that is available to me in spite of having a human, extraordinarily difficult experience. And that's what the steps have done for me. And that's how I've been able to find a belief in a power greater than myself, which, you know, is carrying me through these difficult times. And by the way, the food is silent. I could care less about my food. I want to eat exactly what I always eat, plain and boring, simple, weighed and measured, committed, so that I'm available to meet life's challenges today. And that's why my agnosticism and atheism have long parted ways with me. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thanks so much, Melissa C. from New York. Up next, we have Kelly S., followed by Tina. Hey, Kelly.
Good morning, Joan. Thanks for taking the meeting. This is Kelly S., recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And that's Kelly with an EY if you're looking for me. Great opening share. And then Melissa stole some stuff I was going to say. But so after a while, we had to face the fact that we must find a spiritual basis of life or else. Wait, what? That is not what I came in for. Like I said, I came in to lose weight and to get my eating under control. I can't even talk. Under control. I wasn't looking for a spiritual basis of life, right? But, you know, I did know that I could not quit entirely. And when eating, I had little control over the amount I took. So I realized and found out and listened to you guys, I lacked power, right? I didn't have the power to stop. Spent the year decades in here, decades, you know, not hoping against hope. I wasn't the real compulsive overeater, but guess what, guys? I am, right? I am. And I lack power, so I'm going to have to find power. We must find a spiritual basis. We must not, this doesn't say we must find a better food plan. We must find a better meeting. We must find a better sponsor. Those things are all great, but that's not the solution, right? And like we shared earlier, you know, I thought, well, to do this program, I have to understand God. I mean, I think there's a God. I don't know. And then the more I think about it, it didn't make sense to me. I wanted to understand it. I wanted to define it. I couldn't. Of course, I never had to understand my disease, right? I did it anyway. It didn't make any sense to me. God didn't make sense. Well, my disease didn't make sense. Binging, purging, being 100 pounds overweight, being underweight, being in treatment, none of that made sense. But I did it anyway. It didn't stop. So why maybe not just work this program, even though it doesn't make sense to me, because I'm seeing the solution. I'm seeing it in you guys' eyes, your voices, and your stories. So I'm thinking, why not, right? So, you know, one of the things I realized is I don't have to define or explain this power, this God. I can't. I can't explain it. I can't define it. But when I started working these steps, when I put the food down and started working these steps, I began to experience God. Things began to happen in my life that I couldn't explain, that I know that I couldn't do. I couldn't keep the food down for any length of time. I couldn't start showing up different. I couldn't make genuine amends. You know, how we show up in our lives, in our occupations and our affairs, those things are changing for me. I can't change my heart. You know, God knows I tried. I feel like I'm the Grinch and who stole Christmas. My heart is growing bigger, bigger, and bigger. Well, I'm not making that happen. We don't have to define it. You don't have to understand this God or this power. Just start working the steps. And I promise you, if you put the food down and you start working these steps and you follow the instructions out of this book, you too can experience this God, this power, and have a whole new way of life and keep the food down. I promise you that. And with that, I pass. Thanks, guys.
Great timing. Thanks so much, Kelly. That's Kelly EYS from Oklahoma. Up next, we have Tina from Florida, followed by Cheryl A. Good morning, Tina.
Thanks so much, Jen. Tina S., recovered compulsive eater, anorexic in Florida. Wow. what an order to follow the first three shares. That was just wonderful, you know, and I love that my head just shakes up and down all the time, you know. I so belong here, and, you know, what I was thinking, you know, was the last couple words of the previous paragraph, you know, to be doomed, or the sentence actually, to be doomed to an alcoholic death or to live on a spiritual basis are not always easy alternatives to face. You know, and I lived in that sentence for a long, long time, weighing the odds here, you know, going to the bitter end or accepting spiritual help. You know, it was just, you know, for a long time, you know, because I also didn't come here to get spiritual. You know, that's not why I came here. I came here so this shit would quit happening. You know, me being in all kind of, have all kind of issues because of eating or not eating or whatever I did with food behaviors, you know, and how I treated people and all that stuff about, you know, when I got here, they told me that the same person would eat again, and that was just the truth. And so I had to change. And the only way I could, and it was just, you know, just talked about, you know, only way I could be a different person and show up differently in my life was on a spiritual basis, you know. And I love that it says, but after a while, we had to face the fact that we must find a spiritual basis of life or else, you know, what's the alternative to live that way for the rest of my life? And, you know, in a couple more paragraphs, they're going to tell us what our dilemma is. You know? but we all, you know, previous, you know, spiritual basis. And so, you know, today, and, you know, because it says, but cheer up. Something like half of us thought we were atheists or agnostics. Hear, hear, you know. But our experience shows that you need not be disconcerted, you know, because by the time I got to that place, there was no other house on the block, you know, that I had to do what everybody else in this room had to do, in this program had to do, because I was the same, you know, was to follow direction, you know, work the steps and have a transformation of self. You know, of self, so that I could be a different person in my life today, so that I could be of service to others. And what a novel idea. Never ever thought of that because I'm always selfish and self-centered. But, you know, what a great paragraph, because today, you know, I love this idea of a spiritual basis of life. Where would I be without it? First thing I do in the morning, you know, and I don't want to ramble, but I'm really looking forward to hearing some more shares. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks so much.
Well, thank you, Tina S. from Florida. Up next, we have Cheryl A., followed by Kat C. Good morning, Cheryl. Tell me where you're calling from today, please.
Good morning, Jen. Thanks so much for your service. This is Cheryl A., recovered compulsive overeater from Brookline, Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
And, gosh, we've spent so much time getting to this chapter, so much time. It says you've now, you know, at the beginning of this page that you've learned a little bit about basically the problem, but look how long it took us to learn about it, because it reminds me that I have a denial mechanism that's built into the way that this disease functions that will cause me to think of every single possible reason for why I eat beyond the point that I am supposed to, other than the fact that I have a disease that can only be treated, since I have crossed the line, by a spiritual process. And then it says here pretty clearly, like, or else. Like, I have two choices. I now know about what the problem is. I know about the nature of it. You know, any of us who have any kind of medical issue there's a lot we have to learn about it before we understand what the proper treatment is. And so that's what we just spent all this time doing, is learning about it. And now it presents pretty directly, you know, you've got a spiritual way to go, or kind of else, you know, meaning like it doesn't look so good on the other way. And there's something about the spiritual life that it is so deeply fulfilling. It is so deeply wonderful. And yet, if I don't remember who I am and I don't follow the very specific instructions, I will come up with every single reason not to live the spiritual life. And I forget that it's wonderful. And I forget that it treats this disease and puts it in arrest. I forget. And so I love being able to hear all of you speak every day, because it is really the most effective way, through the power of my fellowship. And it is one of the two powers I have. It's not my ultimate capital H power, but it is a small H power, this fellowship, because without it, I just don't remember what I have to do. I'll wake up with my negativity bias way in gear, and then I will want to come up through my intellect with every possible reason to treat that negativity or fear. And yet I have a prescription through a spiritual way of living that beautifully aligns right alongside my chosen religion, to teach me how to deal with just about anything and everything. And there is anything and everything that I could focus on right now that is horrific out there in the world, very personal to myself and my family all over the world, and my own challenges, you know, in my own life. And I am just so grateful that I have this direct line that says, or else. With that, I will pass. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Cheryl A. from Massachusetts. Great to hear you this morning. Up next, we have Kat C. Good morning, Kat. Where are
Good
you
morning.
Located?
In Ohio. My name is Kat C. I'm a compulsive overeater. Thank you for letting me share. So when I first saw this chapter, We Agnostics, I was like, I don't know if I really need that. Because I've, like some other shares, I do have a faith in the Lord, and but like others, it didn't stop me from compulsively overeating. It did not stop me. And I kept saying, you know, I surrender, Lord. And every morning, maybe not every single morning, but most mornings, especially before I got abstinent, every morning I would wake up and be crying out to the Lord. And I would be like, why did I do that again? I do not understand myself. I didn't know what was wrong with me. I like what it said. It says, at first, some of us tried to avoid the issue. Mine was the issue of compulsive overeating. You know, I didn't know that I was a compulsive overeater. I just thought that, you know, I grew up in a family that we just ate. We ate for every single occasion, sad, happy, all of that. But after a while, we had to face the fact that we must find a spiritual basis of life, or else. I had the spiritual basis, but I wasn't fully surrendering my will. I wasn't fully surrendering my own will. And when it finally clicked that I had to surrender my life and my will over to the care of God in order for this to work, in order for Him to be able to actually work on me, it's been completely different. And I just want to say, like, when I'm reading this, I'm starting to understand with We Agnostics, because my daughter, she's not a believer, and I'm starting to understand, you know, if I can't do it, even admitting that I need the Lord, you know, and I still mess up. My daughter, she doesn't know the Lord, and she messes up. So we're both messed up, and we both need to be different. So, yeah, so I love this program. I love what God has done despite myself, you know. So thank you. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Kat C. from Ohio. Up next, we have Gloria H., followed by Justin C. Good morning, Gloria. Where are you located?
Good morning. I was worried because I'm in a rehab for my knee replacement. So I said, you're going to say that you want to speak and somebody's going to come into the room. I said, you like to do these things. Obsessive compulsive overeater. And I always get the abstract thinking when I read something. I said, probably, where did that come from? But, you know, I did have a God of my understanding before I came into the program. But I got this pamphlet that said, are you a compulsive overeater? They had all these different things. Do you eat when you're sad? Do you eat when you're lonely? Do you eat when you're this and that? And, you know, when I'm checking them off. But the biggest thing came, the biggest awareness came when I came in. They said the first step is my life is unmanageable. I never saw the unmanageability of my life. And the labels, like, you know, this thing talks about the label of alcoholic. You know, when I was hearing that, I said, you know, I remember hearing about gluttony, and I remember reading people say you're greedy, you know. And I said, which label do you want? You know, you don't need a label. I don't need a label. All I need to know is whatever difficulties, whatever inconsistencies I have, a problem or situation is, there's a power greater than myself. And if I choose to surrender my life and my will to that, you know, and that's where it comes in, you know, surrendering my life and my will to God. Because, like I said, I get up in the morning and I say, thy will be done, yes, yes. And by 12 o'clock, I say, oh, I got this one, God. Don't worry about it. I've been here before. And 12 o'clock at night, I'm saying, please, give me another chance, you know. So I have to remember that whatever that thinking is, they said, you have to resign from the committee of debate, the debating committee. And that's where I have to do. I have to resign from the debating committee. I have to resign from the intellectual committee. I have to resign from all the committees that tell me that this is a committee that is not ordained or designed by God. You know, let's go to the God committee. And then when I go to the God committee, I will know the next right thing to do. The next, I won't have any, you know, God orderly direction is what I'm looking for. And so I think I've babbled enough. And I just probably wanted to be interrupted by the people here. But anyway, I appreciate everyone that's on this this meeting. I ask that I be a blessing to others and others be a blessing to me, and I pass so that others can share.
Okay, Gloria, thank you so much. Don't get off yet. Tell us what state you're calling from. Gloria H. from?
From wherever. I don't know, Mars, Venus, but I think my location is Charlotte, North Carolina.
North Carolina, great. Then folks can find you on the member list. All right, happy healing to you. Up next is Justin C. from North Carolina as well. Go ahead, Justin.
Hey, everybody. Justin C., recovered compulsive overeater from Charlotte, North Carolina. Recovered just for today, not cured. You know, it's only by the grace of a power greater than myself that I choose to call God and this amazing program of recovery that I can say that I'm here today, Jen. Thanks for your service and everyone else for being here. You know, what struck me about this reading this morning is, but after a while, you know, it says at first some of us tried to avoid the issue, hoping against hope we were not true alcoholics. But after a while, we had to face the fact that we must find a spiritual basis of life or else. And boy, that is true for me. It did not happen immediately. You know, I was desperate. I was beaten down for sure. Felt hopeless, no doubt. You know, came into the rooms, went to some meetings, got some information, and then went right back on out there with my own self-will, my own limited power. And you know, went back at it for a while and lost and got beaten down some more and came back and listened some more and went back out there. And you know, one of the things that I am so grateful for is keep coming back, you know, that people would just say, keep coming back. And, and there would be open arms, and people would not judge me. They would share as well how they had gone back out and how many times they picked up the food. But each time I was becoming more and more desperate, more and more hopeless, you know, and losing faith in myself for sure. And also, you know, what I am grateful for is Appendix 2, you know, spiritual experience, especially the part that talks about the educational variety, you know, slowly over time. That has been my experience. I have had to keep coming back here and giving more and more of myself, turning it over. God has had to grow in size and depth in my life to where I have come to realize that I need God in every aspect of my life. You know, I need to ask God to enter my thoughts, my spirit, you know, my soul. That's what I need. That's what I need if I'm going to show up in the sunlight of the spirit and not live my life in the shadows anymore, you know, obsessed over food or weight or any of these other things. That's what I like, you know, today. That's what I'm choosing for today. And just want to say I'm so grateful for all of you and for this line, for vision, for bringing this faith, you know, this hope. It is incredibly important to me. So if you're new, keep coming back. That's all I got. Thanks for letting me share. I'll pass.
Perfect timing. Thanks, Justin C. from North Carolina. All right, so we are in the agnostics. We're in the big book on page 44, paragraph number 3. And I will take names of folks. We do value your experience, and we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others can share. So if you'll give me your first name, first initial of your last name, and state, I'd be happy to write you down, and you could share. Go right ahead.
Hi, my name is Kat G., as in George, from California.
Perfect. Thanks, Kat G. Anyone else?
Mary Beth P., Atlanta.
Mary from Atlanta.
Troy C. from Florida.
Troy C. from Florida.
Julie K.
Julie K. Anyone else? We got lots of time. So go ahead and press star one. If you're new to doing this, just press star one. Give us your name. And we'd love to hear from you this morning.
Sonia S. from Pennsylvania.
Sonia S.
Jeannie B. from Florida.
Jeannie.
And if there's time, Fana Yeta from Texas.
Okay, thank you.
Miriam J. from Massachusetts.
We'll see if we have time. Miriam, hang on there. Miriam J. from Massachusetts. All right, let me tell you who I have. I have Pat G., Mary Beth B., Troy C., Julie K., Sonia S., Jeannie B., Sonietta from Texas, and Miriam G. from Massachusetts. We'll see if we can get everybody in. Kat G. from California, go right ahead. Good morning to you. Kat, you'll need to press star one.
Hi, thank you. This is Kat G. from California, currently in South Carolina on vacation, trying to do this one day at a time. I too am blown away by just the thankfulness of hearing the words over time and knowing that this isn't something that I'm supposed to get immediately and be discouraged by hearing. In fact, I hear the words cheer up, which tell me that I can't lose faith. I came in with a spiritual background, so the chapter at first was something I thought I didn't need to read, but then in reading it, I found out that I was definitely at times agnostic, thinking that the world revolved around myself, and I've come to understand that it does not. And I have to ask on a daily basis for the help and resolve to get out of my own way. And I'm learning a little bit more every day. And sometimes when I don't have a good day, I wonder why I didn't. And so the understanding of how it happened and what I've learned and how to dissect things has come about by being a part of OA and understanding the buildup of emotion and what happens when I don't deal with that and do maybe a mini four-step, as my sponsor says, and learning that when I get to step 10, that I'll be able to work through that buildup of emotion so that it doesn't lead me to the food in that first bite. And that understanding that the first bite isn't where it starts. It's in that negative thinking. And I've been thinking a certain way about myself for over 40 years, and I can't undo that. I'm a people pleaser, and I wonder what people think of me as a person rather than wonder if they're seeing Jesus, if they see God through me. And so I have to fight against those kind of thoughts every single day. And it's not easy, but I know where I can go to talk about those things and the steps that I need to change that kind of thinking. And I am so grateful for OA and this fellowship that I have recently found within the last 7 months. Yeah, that's all I have. Thank you.
Thanks, Kat G. from California. Enjoy your time in South Carolina. Up next is Mary Beth B. from Atlanta, followed by Troy C. Go ahead, Mary Beth.
Hi, good morning. It's actually Mary Beth P., but thank you for letting me share. I just wanted to talk about just how much God has been working in my life and how I've just seen it happen. As all of us, we go through a lot of things, and I was going through a very serious work thing where I tried to incorporate the fear of it, but the faith in God. And I would just cry and say, Lord, I lay this at your feet. I don't know what's going to happen, but I do have the faith that we will be okay. And so over the months, you know, it kept getting worse, and then God opened an opportunity for me. And I could just see how he's been working in my life so closely over these last few months. And that's one of the things I try to do, is have a greater relationship with my God every day, trying to bring him in, trying to just sit with him and be still and listen to what he wants from me just for today. You know, my main role is to be of service and to carry the message. And I love carrying the message and sharing the light with others, you know, because there's many times we go through, you know, our ordeals and we question, you know, what does God have planned? What is our faith? But just knowing that we'll be okay, whatever that is going to look like, at least that's how I believe. And it might not be anything that I want. Maybe it's to help somebody else in this world, you know, but I have to have the faith that that is God's plan. And I am just so grateful today. I had shoulder surgery yesterday. And so I'm going to be home a lot, going to be knowing that this too will get better. And so thank you all for being here. I was just so happy I got up early enough to be on the call. Have a great day.
Glad you're here as well. Thanks for the correction, Mary Beth P., as in perfect, from Atlanta. Up next, we have Troy C. from Florida, followed by Julie K. Good morning, Troy.
Good morning, Jen. This is Troy C., recovering compulsive overeater from Florida. I really appreciate your service. What a great meeting. The thing that comes to me this morning is the same thing I've shared about on this line several times. The sentence that got me was the idea that For a while, I thought I had skirted the issue of having to bring God into this thing, and that I wasn't a true alcoholic when it came to food. And what stuns me about it is I was so ready to accept that I was a true alcoholic when it came to other things. You know, I came into another fellowship years and years ago, and the very first time I read this book, I was like, oh my gosh, that's me. I have a problem. I can't control this thing. And I just couldn't believe the stories of Jim and Fred that we went through in the preceding weeks when I read it in that fellowship. Like, how could these guys not see that? That's so silly. Meanwhile, for over a decade, I tried to control my food with, you know, every diet imaginable, always thinking that it would be ridiculous to have to bring God into this, that that's just preposterous. Even though I knew what it felt like to be an alcoholic. I knew what it felt like to be powerless. I knew right away, there was a big part of me anyway, that knew I can't control my eating. I can't control this food. That Costco pizza is going to get me every time. That pub sub is going to get me every time. But I just, it felt so crazy to that I was going to need to bring God into this. And wait, I have God with this other fellowship. Why wouldn't, if I needed to bring God, why doesn't the relationship over there fix it? I have no idea why. I don't know why the relationship that I had built with my higher power in another program for another purpose didn't transfer over to here. What I do know is that I'm building a relationship with my higher power in this way, in a different type of surrender. And I'm having a new and wonderful experience building a new relationship with my higher power through the steps. Just finished reading my fifth step to my sponsor and going through 6 and 7 and really getting to look at these defects of character. And I'm really glad the previous share brought up, I'll close with this, you know, this topic of a conflict at work. And it occurred to me yesterday after I was, you know, beginning to see that some kind of comment or email or whatever from my boss, that my default fantasy is to think about how I'm going to walk out of this place. And what if my fantasy instead is rooted in how I can be of service, how I can do my higher power's will here without, you know, being subservient and groveling, which is really just self-centered to protect myself. But what if I can show up as an agent of my higher power and pack more into the stream of life, and I could just feel a wave? I know that wave is not what's going to cure me and protect me from food, but it's a cool concept. And I've got this concept in my line of sight now. I really appreciate Vision, and thank you for letting me share.
We appreciate your share. Thanks so much, Troy C. from Florida. Up next, we have Julie K., followed by Sonia S. Julie, tell us where you're calling from this morning, please.
Morning, Jen. Hi, everyone. Julie K. from Ridgefield, Connecticut. Really happy to be here with you all as I make my way to the South Bronx for the first day of school in New York City. And let me tell you, on the drive from Connecticut to the Bronx, if I don't have God with me every second, it's a miserable journey. I never thought 5 years ago that this would be one of my favorite chapters in this book. I didn't know what it meant to be agnostic, and I believed in a power greater than myself, but it was an emergency, like in case of emergency, break glass kind of thing. Get me out of this jam. It wasn't a spiritual connection from my soul. It was from my head. And I've had an interesting journey over the last couple of years because I've started to explore the teachings of other religions not related to the religion of my upbringing. And I sort of view it as just a spiritual toolkit. And this morning I was listening to a reading from outside of my religion of origin. And, you know, the speaker said, you know, what are you hearing in this passage? And there was nothing religious that I heard in that passage. All I heard was, have faith in me, you know, stick with me and I'll stick with you. Ask for help and I'll help you. It was all about faith and surrender. And the miracle for me is that none of that has to do with a religious deity. It all has to do with, you know, being human and being spiritual and having a spiritual experience. And I'm of the slow variety. Sometimes my spouse and I joke around about that. They're in the beverage program and I am in this program. And, you know, it's been a slow understanding for me. And that's okay because I can see the evidence in my life. And you know, the ability to rely on something other than me, You know, my best thinking got me into all of my messes, every single one of them. And I'm going to end with this. I love repeating this, that I, this little nugget that I heard from someone on this line, because for me, I also used to think, well, why, you know, if there is a God, why is there so much suffering and this and that? And I heard this gentleman say, if God were small enough to understand, he wouldn't be big enough to solve our problems. And that sort of was a big aha moment for me that I'm very grateful for. So with that, I hope everyone has a great day, and say a little prayer as I go in and meet all of my new high school students today. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, Julie K. from Connecticut. Up next, we have Sonia S., followed by Jeannie B.
Good morning. This is Sonia S., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. And this is such a great paragraph. It just reminds me of when I came into AA 18 years ago and I stopped drinking and smoking. And somewhere in my sobriety, the food addiction or compulsive overeating started, and then it crossed over into being an addiction. And I was in another program for 12 years, and it was diet with group support. I didn't want to leave because I loved the people there and I wanted to be thin, but I was dying spiritually because I also wasn't working the AA program. And so my Gnosticism was paramount during that 12-year period. And it wasn't until I came into OA 2 years ago that I had a new experience with God in this program. I struggled. I chronically relapsed. I went through many sponsors. But, you know, they say that pain is a great persuader, and I got to such a dark emotional bottom. And I remembered that God is all powerful because God got me sober, right? And I needed to just surrender everything. And even though it was painful to get to that bottom, I'm grateful because now I believe in a power greater than myself. And what has become especially important to me is my 30 minutes of quiet time in the morning, where I include a two-way prayer. And that has been such a beautiful way for me to just talk to God and have God talk back to me. And it gives me a lot of peace. So I'm grateful for this program for so many reasons. My daughter's going through a very difficult time. I have a mother with Alzheimer's disease. And my father died a couple years ago, and I just finished cancer treatment. But, you know, I see miracles happening in my life. I see healing. I feel healing. And I see a difference in my household now, which makes sense, right? Because when you're active in your addiction, you don't realize how you're hurting other people. And I see my family being more at peace because the mama in the house is better. And it just brings me to tears to think that, because I did make amends, thank you God, but I'm just very grateful for this program. Thanks for letting me share.
Well, thank you so much for sharing. I think it was Sonia S. from Pennsylvania is what you said earlier. And up next, we have Jeannie B. from Florida. Go ahead, Jeannie.
Hi, this is Jeannie B. Do I have time?
You have 1 minute. Go right ahead. Would you like that, or do you want to wait?
I'd rather wait and into the next session.
Awesome. Sounds good, Jeannie. All right. You're so welcome. All right, folks. Well, thanks for everyone who shared. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following the closing. Grab your pen and paper. Today's share ID for Thursday, September 5th, 2024, 7 a.m.
Eastern Standard Time is 21,719. That's 21719. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book. It's on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Katie G. please read A Vision for You?
Good morning, Jen. Thanks for taking the meeting. Katie G. recovered in Boston. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and we will surely meet, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until